God, we thank you for your goodness to us, that you are an awesome Father, and that you are ready and willing and excited to be involved in our lives. And I ask that today you would open our hearts to receive your word, that you would open our eyes to see what you're doing in the Spirit, that you would open our ears to hear what you're saying, and that we would come out of here ready to be partners with you in changing the world. I ask it all in your awesome name. Amen. All right, well, this is called Ask, Seek, Knock. And the answer is out there. I think it was X-Files, right? Their motto was, the truth is out there. Well, if you know the Lord, you know the truth. It was Trinity, I think, said to Neo in The Matrix, you know, the answer is out there. It in her thinking, the answer was drifting around seeking and would find us. But that's just not how it works in the kingdom of God. We're supposed to seek. We're supposed to be the ones that go out and get. And we are partners with God. We get to join with Him in effecting change and seeing the world different. We're not just passively sitting back waiting for Him to do stuff to us. Okay, that doesn't work in almost any area of life. It definitely does not work in intimacy in a marriage, and it doesn't work in intimacy with God. You don't just passively wait. Like, you should think, you know, when we read, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, you could think of it more in an active setting, like you're a waiter or a waitress. That it's not just, and then God just does amazing things to you. Even the act of meditation we've talked about, it's not just having nothingness in your mind. That's Eastern religion. Eastern religion is all about clearing your mind so that you can open your spirit up to the great unknown. But true godly meditation is using your mind to see Him, to seek Him, to be filled with His wisdom, with His power, with His glory. It's not a nothingness that we're after, it's a fullness that we're after. It's a very different mindset. And so we've talked about meditation being the act of like steeping a bag of tea, that, you know, you put the tea in, and the longer that tea's in there and brewing, the richer the flavor. And the same as you let the word brew inside of you, it begins to change you. Just like tea changes the color, the flavor, the look, you know, of that water, so the word of God and His presence in you begins to change you. You begin to reflect Him. You begin to give off the fragrant aroma of the gospel of Jesus. You begin to kind of be saturated with Him. And then everywhere you go, you bring His presence. Or like meditation being like sitting by a fire. You don't just walk by and go, oh, pretty. But you actually have to sit there for a while when you're freezing. I'm starting to think about fires again. Scary. But you sit there for a while. That's meditation. As you sit, the heat begins to come and warm you, thaws you, begins to impact your body and your life. This is the idea here when we get into these scriptures. Well, let me jump to some verses. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And I got way too much Bible. You know, to have a preacher preach about prayers is really a dangerous thing. And I hope to at least give you something simple to hang on to and not just bombard you with 100 scriptures. But pray for me that I do that. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Here's what Jesus says. So simple. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. It's pretty simple. 1, 2, 3. Now, I'm doing this a lot in this message. I'm breaking down pieces of scriptures, but everything on here is just straight word for word. I think I used the NIV Bible today. But so I'm just putting it in blocks so that you can see how simple this is. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Now, to reiterate what he just said, he says the same three things again. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I love that center verse there. Everyone. 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 And I've been meditating on this the last year or two, especially as I've been back in school. I'm reading so much, studying, praying, trying to, I'm just cramming myself with the Word of God, literally day after day. I mean, like yesterday, I just had to read 1st and 2nd Samuel. It's just that's, my intake is like huge amounts right now in the midst of all these classes, besides preaching. And what's been on my heart is that we know these verses, but I find that almost no one applies them. When I hear people talking, and I mean pretty much everyone, there's such a sense of emptiness in their pursuit of God. I don't hear passion. I don't hear people, and I mean you, everyone, people outside, restaurants, coffee shops. We're not asking, seeking, knocking. We're content. We give in so easy. And people have been through so much, I think, of disappointment. And we know Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And because we've tried, we've prayed, we didn't get the answer we wanted, it didn't work out like we planned, it doesn't seem like, you know, things are going our way. Maybe it's presumptuous for us to ask God for anything. But we tend to get into this mode of really just functioning and not pressing in, believing that there's a treasure to find, that there's answers coming for us. I preached a couple months ago on all things are possible. You know, one person cried out to Jesus. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think we're probably, a lot of us are in that state. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I know, I injured my thumb a few years ago. I've probably injured it, I don't know how many times over the years. I played a lot of sports, skiing. They call it skier's thumb. And it's where you tear the ligament in your thumb and your thumb just wobbles. It's just not, it doesn't have power. So I even had a surgery. And the surgery was okay, you know, I probably should do it again. It's just like, I had good insurance then, it cost me $100. Now it'll cost me $10,000. So I'm like, yeah, no, I don't need that. I'd like a thumb, but right now I'd like $10,000 more. So it's about half effective, my thumb. It's weird that I notice it the most when I'm holding my iPhone, because I'm still a pointer guy. I'm trying to do the thumb thing, but it's hard because this one's lame. So when I type, it's just like things don't, they come out a little gobbled up because this lame thumb is just, isn't getting it. So I hold like this and point. Well, after a little while of holding, my hand gets really tired and this thumb goes, yeah, that's enough. Keyboard's better for me. And I say, okay, man. Now, most old people have something like that. Old starts maybe when you're 30. When it comes to like nagging injuries. You're like, yeah, I got this knee. I try not to jump off dumpsters. I crawl down them now when I'm scavenging, you know? Right? And you have something. You got this knee. You know, I know when I get up, I always make sure to twist like this. Otherwise, my neck gets stuck. You always got something, right? Now, I feel like that's kind of many of our Christian lives, is that we are like, man, I'm a man of God. And so I don't whine. I've learned to not be a whiner. I just trust and I just know I'll get through it with my dumb, lame thumb. But I don't think that's God's heart for us, is to just be content in things broken. But I think He really wants you to ask, to seek, and to knock and to believe for that answer you need. And to me, faith isn't so much that you found, you know, Kenneth Hagin's secret ray gun, and you have faith, and you have this big thing, and you were like, man, I was struggling in life, but I went to a crusade, and they taught me, and look, I got faith now! Bam! I got faith! Like Duke Nukem finding a big gun behind a wall. You have faith! And when you need something, you just blast it out of the sky! Well, that's awesome, and I'm not against that kind of faith. But I think in our day and age, the faith that we're really looking for is what causes you to pray again tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. And to keep going to God, to keep knocking, to keep asking. And that if you keep asking, rather than go, well, my thumb's lame, so well. I'll work on that, I can do stuff more right-handed, or I just gotta hold my phone a little different. Or do you keep believing? Remember my son, Jonathan, got this big cyst in his eyelid once. And they gave him some erythromycin or something, you know. But it was like nothing really happened. And they're like, well, these just come. And I told him, I think he was maybe 8 or 9 at the time. And we're like, just lay your hands on it every morning and every night and just curse it and tell it to die in Jesus' name. So every day he'd get up. He'd say, I curse this lump in my eye. I don't want you to die. Get out of my eye. And after about a month of him doing that, one day he woke up and it was gone. Now he was so pumped. Remember, he was so encouraged. He's like, man, it happened. But we've talked about this many times that, you know, like the Yates oil pond back in the Depression in Texas, this family was bankrupt. These guys came to drill and they began to drill, and it wasn't until they got to like 1,450 feet that they hit oil, and it was pumping out 30,000 plus barrels of oil a day for a generation. And the idea is, when would you have stopped drilling? At 100 feet, well, there's nothing here. 500 feet, nothing here. Probably for sure, we're down 1,000 feet. That's like Empire State Building. I mean, there's nothing here. But they kept going, and they got to 30,000 barrels a day. Well, now, oil's what, maybe $60 a barrel? So you're pumping out millions and millions of dollars of oil a year. God has answers for us. We got to decide if we're going to go for it. All right, let me read a couple stories to you. And this is one of my all-time favorite books. I think you can find it somewhere. I know it's used. You can find it on Amazon. But it's called Life's Ultimate Privilege. It's by Devern Fromke, F-R-O-M-K-E. And for him, life's ultimate privilege is that through fellowship or koinonia, we can come to know God intimately. Yeah. And so he covers a lot of facets of that. But here's a story from a chapter called More Definite in Our Praying. And this is one of my all-time favorite stories. Years ago, the Free Church of Scotland was holding an important meeting in Aberdeen. Worshippers were flocking in from all the nearby towns. An aged man, wending his way to the city on foot, was overtaken by a young theological student. The two walked on together towards the meeting. Despite the difference in their ages, they enjoyed much fellowship as they trekked on toward the city. At noontime, they sat down on a grassy slope to eat the lunch each had brought, first giving thanks for his gracious provision. Afterwards, the aged pilgrim suggested that they pray together before continuing their journey. The young theologian was a bit embarrassed, but he agreed, intimating that the older man should pray first. Addressing God as his Father in all simplicity, the old gentleman poured out his heart in thanksgiving. Now listen to this, because this could change your entire Christian life. He poured out his heart in thanksgiving and then uttered three specific requests. First, he reminded the Lord that he was very hard of hearing. Therefore, he needed a seat near enough to the pulpit so he could get full benefit of the message. Second, he told the Lord that his shoes were badly worn and not fit for the city streets. So he pleaded for a new pair, though he had not the money to purchase them. Last of all, he asked for a place to stay for the night, as he knew no one in Aberdeen and did not know where to look for accommodations. By this time, the young theologian's eyes were wide open. He looked upon the old man with mingled disgust and amazement, thinking it a great impertinence to burden deity with such trivialities. When his turn came to pray, he delivered himself of an eloquent, carefully composed discourse, which in turn amazed his old companion, who saw in it nothing that indicated a making known any definite needs to God the Father. Proceeding on their way, the men reached the church just as the people were crowding in, and it became evident that there was no longer even standing room left. The student thought, "Now we shall see what becomes of this presumptuous prayer. He'll see that God has more to do than use his time saving a seat for a poor old countryman." However, at that very moment, someone came out and the old man was able to squeeze inside the door, where he stood with his hand up to his ear trying to hear what was going on. Just then it happened that a young lady in the front pew turned and saw him. Calling a sexton, she said, "My father told me to hold our pew for him until time for the sermon, and then if he did not get here, to give it to someone else. Evidently, he's been detained. Will you please go back and bring up that old man who has his hand to his ear standing just inside the door?" In a few moments, he was sitting in the pew directly before the speaker, so petition number one was fully answered. Now in Scotland, some folks always kneel for prayer as the minister leads. Others reverently rise to their feet. The old man was the kneeling kind, and the young woman always stood. As she looked down, she couldn't help observing the worn shoes on the feet of the kneeling worshiper. Since her father was a shoe dealer, she delicately approached the subject of his need for a better pair of shoes. She asked if she might take him to her father's store, though it was closed for the night, and present him with a pair. Thus, petition two was answered. At the store, the lady inquired where he was to stay for the night. In all simplicity, he answered, "I dinna ken yet." I don't know. I've been to Scotland, so I can translate that for you. "My father has a room for me, but he has not told me where it is." Puzzled for a moment, she exclaimed, "Oh, you mean your father God? Well, I believe we have that room for you. We were saving our guest room for the Reverend so-and-so, but a telegram came this morning saying he could not come. So now you must be our guest." Thus the third petition was answered. You can imagine the astonishment of the young theologian the next day when he discovered how definitely the Lord had answered the old man's prayer. Perhaps it is in order for all of us who have read this faith-building story to ask, is there some secret to asking so definitely and receiving so quickly? Isn't that awesome? Now, I got a ton of slides. We're still on the... Okay. I want to tell you a little more from this. And so I didn't put some of these scriptures in my PowerPoint because it's in this book. But just an overriding sense of praying and asking, just some basic things you need to know when you're praying is that it comes out of a relationship with God. It's not so much that God only answers if you're intimate with him. It's that you only pray if you're intimate with him. And you only ask specifically if you have a trust in him. And if you don't ask specifically, you don't really ever see answers. And if you don't ever see answers, you stop asking. And then pretty soon you just quit and don't even try. And so one of the keys to all of this is you've got to learn to hear God's voice. You've got to learn to be, you know, intimate with him. But then you've got to just step out and believe. Ask him. And throughout all these scriptures, I want you to see today that God says over and over and over, ask, ask, ask. Let me show you some more verses before I read more from this book, because I want to make sure we get this thing started. I showed you Matthew. Let me show you every one of the Gospels. All the gospel writers have this theme somewhere in their writing. Obviously, they're writing a story of Jesus and what he had to say, so they're all following that pattern. In Mark chapter 11, we use this verse a lot, but in verse 22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer," what does it say? "Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Now, when you hear that verse, if your thought is, "Well, I won't even finish it." If you start with just, "Well," you already missed the point. If you have a "well," you're not getting it. Now, someone could challenge me and say, "Well, you prayed for some things. Have they all happened?" It's not the issue. Remember hearing a guy, you maybe heard of him, he had a bunch of orphanages in England, and his name escapes me. George Mueller, thank you. He made a prayer list of like 35 of his closest friends when he first came to know the Lord. Over the years, over 30 of them got saved. A few years before he died, number like 34 got saved. And someone said, "Are you sure you're going to see them all saved?" And he goes, "Of course, I'm praying. Of course, I'm praying." Well, number 35 on his prayer list came to know the Lord while kneeling at George Mueller's grave funeral. George Mueller died, but at his funeral, the final person on his list, 67 years of prayer, 67 years of prayer, the final person on his list gave his heart to God. He said, "Of course it will. I'm praying." When we really believe that God is not a man that he should lie, that God is a truth teller, that God honestly wants to answer your prayers, you'll pray. And when you start to decide, "I don't know if God's going to answer," you stop. It's that simple. If you've been praying 67 years for something, I can get where you start to think maybe it's not going to happen. Except, I think after you cross about the 10-year barrier, you've already proven that you get it. Right? Most people quit praying after one round, and the real radicals will pray even like a 40-day fast. And then it's like, "Man, it didn't happen yet?" I've never seen anything happen during a 40-day fast. I've done a few. Nothing ever gets answered during the fast. God never answers nothing, except, you know, the reality that you're starving, and maybe you have great time, quiet times and good times with the Lord, but I'll tell you what, it's after the pain, after the struggle, after the battle, you start seeing answers. But you gotta keep walking, you gotta keep asking, you gotta keep believing. Alright, Luke chapter 11. Here we see the same story as Matthew, kind of rephrased. Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Okay? So, we're told by Jesus, ask, seek, knock. So let's say I have one child left at home, William. Let's say he wants some money to go to a football game. Well, it's pretty simple in our house. If he sees me, all he has to do is say, Dad, I'd like to go to the football game. I need money and a ride. Works out pretty easy, right? Now, let's say I'm not around. What does he have to do? Seek me out. He runs around. And you all know it. Teenagers, the way they hunt for something is they go like this. Dad! That's how you find someone. Now, it's not like parents do that. Whoa! I'm old. I don't want to run upstairs, downstairs. No, just I use the voice of thunder. But you seek, and then he finds me. Dad, I need money. I really want to go to the game. Can you help? Yeah. What if I'm in my office, door shut? Sometimes I even put up the sign. I have a sign that just says blood or fire. That's all it says. Don't bother me unless there's blood or fire. My wife violated it. You know, I'd have it up. She'd now and then be like, bam, 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 bam. And it's like you could say, well, yeah, there's blood. I've been knocking so long. Look at my knuckles. There's blood. But if you either ask, if you're there, you seek and find me out. If I'm behind a door, knock. Now this man shows up and he says he'll answer because why? He doesn't stop. He's like, hey, I need bread. No, I'm sleeping. Go away. Hey, I need bread. Hey, go away. I'm sleeping. I'm not awake. I can't even hear you. Hey. Some of you already want to give me bread, don't you? If you'll stop, I'll give you bread. You knock till you get the bread. Now, if that seems like, oh, I don't think you should treat God like that, you don't know God. That's what God says to do. This is Jesus' story. This isn't like some, oh, this is a parable that Tim LaHaye has released the inside information for us. This is just Jesus. Ask. Let's keep going. He says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. John 14. John writes it like this. He said, very truly I tell you, quoting Jesus, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Now when you meet someone that's a true prayer warrior, intercessor, you learn they pray. And it doesn't bother them to keep praying. You know, in our Thursday night meeting or a Wednesday night meeting praying, we just, many topics, we're praying over and over. We have two women in town that have Lyme's disease and we have laid hands on one of them, prayed like a dozen times. Nothing's changed yet. But we pray every week. We're not discouraged by it. We're praying. We're talking to God. We're asking God. We're asking specific things. And in it, we know we're going to see the answer. Really, being a prayer warrior is that you're still praying. That's it. You know, if a guy goes to battle and he's like, no, man, I don't know. This looks dangerous. You don't call him a warrior. The warrior is the one that keeps battling, that keeps fighting, that keeps going to the front, that keeps pulling up his gun, that keeps pulling out the sword, that keeps nuking. I mean, he doesn't hold back. He's a warrior. We gotta be like that in the kingdom of God. We gotta be like that with God. We can't, he's not offended if you ask him for stuff. It's like, he might not give you exactly what you're asking for, but it's never gonna offend him that you're asking. Now, if it's ridiculous what you're asking for, even then, he'll just straighten you out. He'll, you know, if you're like, Lord, I only got one wife, man, what's up? He'd be like, no. What is your problem? Acts 2:42. So we saw Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. When the early church came to know the Lord, while Peter was preaching, it says in Acts 2:42, those people that were baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Why all of a sudden do they devote themselves to prayer? Because they heard from the Lord himself, they heard from the apostles. Guess what? When you pray, God answers. Right off the bat, it was a foundation stone in their lives. So one of the keys to all this I mentioned is that we've got to abide in the Lord. Here's some practical helps, and then I'll give you some more facts. These are true too. This isn't fake news. Davern Fromke writes, first, it seems evident that for the old man, prayer was no mere act, but a way of life. It would seem he had developed roots in God. That is, he had learned an abiding fellowship that brought him into such intimacy with God that he could ask in simple confidence. Such roots in God and in his word, his purposes and his ways do not come quickly or through casual acquaintance. It seems the cry of many today is fruit now, roots later. Yet there are no shortcuts to developing root life. As we picture below, much of the scripture points first to our developing roots and abiding, and only then can we expect fruits or answers. So, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, that's the root, and the fruit, he will give you the desires of your heart. In Psalm 37:5, he goes on, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. John 15:5, he that abides in me and I in him, the same bringing forth much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. King James. John 5, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The idea is that as we abide in God, we hang out with him, we gaze upon his beauty, we spend time in his word, we get to know him in an intimate way, we develop roots, and it's not that God says, okay, now you have roots, so I'll answer you. It's that until you have roots, you don't even know what you ought to ask. You don't even know what you need. And see, you have to ask according to his will. Then he really is ready to do it. If you're asking for your own pleasure, James says, you missed the mark. That comes from spending time with God. Andrew Murray said this, definite prayer leads us to judge whether our desires are according to God's word and whether we really believe that we shall receive the things we ask for. It helps us to wait for this special answer and to mark it when it comes. If we're not specific, we never really see God answer. We kind of feel like he maybe did. But when you see a specific answer, it pumps you up. Remember once we brought this band in, and when I was pastoring in Madison, it was kind of a hip band that was called Spin 180. They were kind of cutting-edge Christian band. And we brought them in, but we didn't have any money. And we were like, oh, man, how are we going to pay this? Their fee was $680. And we're like, oh, Lord, help! We need $680. So we had them on Saturday night. We had a little money that came in and it covered our advertising and our posters and all the stuff we had done. But I remember writing him a check Saturday night and I just thought, well, you know, nobody's getting paid this week, but we're going to pay him and we'll trust God for the rest. So we paid him $680, had church, and then Monday morning I went to the P.O. box and I walked up and I look in and I could see there was like a letter, personal letter, and I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. I go in and it's from Iowa, and I thought, oh, okay, Iowa, you know, what can that mean, you know? And I open it up, And some guy that I had met a few years earlier when I had gone down there to do a rock and roll, a search for God seminar, said, I was praying for you in your church this week, and I felt like God wanted me to send you some money. And I look at the check, $680. Bam. Some guy in Iowa. He was a jeweler. He had had a big sale. I think it was a tithe off of like one of his sales. $680. So who knows? Did God, he already knew. He let him sell like a $6,800 sale in his business. And then I got $680. So God's like, okay, Michael's going to need $680 for spin 180. You know what? This guy's been saying, Lord, use me. I'm going to give him a sale. And he gets a sale, boom, sells a rock. I get a check, $680, boom, we pay the bill, and we walk away praising God forevermore. Well, these are the kind of things God does if we ask him specifically. Still there? Why should we ask? that's kind of a dumb one, but 'cause. Now, Jeremiah 33. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth and the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. We should ask because God promises to answer. How awesome is that? We need stuff. We need to change the world. We need wisdom. We need gifts. We need everything if we're going to impact the world. James says it like this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. What he's saying? Why are you fighting your marriage all the time? Well, because you didn't ask God for stuff. You want what you can't get. You don't ask this. Oh, you don't give me that. You don't treat me like that. You never respect me. You don't give me enough sex. You know, and you get all this. Well, ask God. You remember when Bruce Almighty prayed for his girlfriend? If you know the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Pray. Pray. Ask God. You know, he's like, you covet. Why do you covet? Ask me. Why are you like, oh, why don't I have a new car? Why don't I have it? How come we can't pay our rent? Just ask me. Ask me. He's like, you have not because you ask not. You do not have because you do not ask God. And then he goes on to say, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You see, when you get to know God, you realize that he does care about you. It's just that he won't always give you exactly what you want. He gives you what you need. There's a scripture that you maybe know. Mick Jagger, I think, quoted it. You know, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you find you get what you need. Now, there aren't many Stone songs that are scripturally accurate. But that is true. You might not always get what you want, but God will be faithful to give you what you need. Sometimes you get something different than what you're seeking for. I wrote down just a few things that came into my mind that I think are true. You remember Saul? I was just reading this yesterday. Saul was out searching for donkeys for his dad. And while he was searching, Samuel showed up and anointed him king of Israel. He's just out going, man, I gotta find these donkeys. And someone said, well, there's an old prophet guy that maybe can help you. And he shows up and says, hey, old prophet guy. And old prophet guy goes, okay, well, here's the deal. I'm anointing you now to be the future king of Israel. Oh yeah, and about the donkeys, yeah, okay, I'll take care of that too. Sometimes you get something that you're not expecting. Christopher Columbus was searching for routes to China and India, and he didn't find it. What did he find? The Americas. Turned out pretty good for us. Alexander Graham Bell, you know, his wife and his mother were both deaf, so he was working on inventions that would help the deaf. And while doing that, he came up with the telephone. That could be good. Some might think that's bad. Paul was out hunting Christians to beat them up, jail them, imprison them. But along the way, he got arrested by Jesus and got saved, got born again, got delivered, got filled with the Spirit. See, in the seeking and the finding, God will do miracles for you if you keep pressing into Him. But it's amazing how few people actually still seek God. I mean, just to meditate on the Word, to get up, you know, to seek first the kingdom of God, to read the Word, to bathe in prayer, to just let that Word soak into you and pour it back to God. It's like we talk about it, but instantly it's deleted. It's like people hear it, and it's like we just change the page, refresh. Don't give me that. But I'm telling you, everything you're struggling with in life can be solved if you'll just start seeking God and asking Him specifically to get involved in your life. James says this in James 5. Is anyone among you in trouble? Now what could that be? Criminal trouble? Physical trouble? Are you struggling with depression? You're struggling with cancer? Struggling with Lyme's disease? Let them pray! Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Why should we pray? Because God's promised to answer us. We need stuff. We're in trouble. We're struggling. We're battling. And I mean, you could go on and on about the needs of the world around us. When should we pray? This is a who, what, why, where, when. But all the time. Luke 18:1. Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. Luke 21 says, be always on the watch. Pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Always be on the watch. Ready, seeking God, prepared for anything that might come your way. Paul said this in Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. When? Always. Pray in the Spirit. All kinds of prayer. On all occasions. Always keep on praying. What kind of prayers? All kinds. All kinds. Prayers of thanksgiving. Prayers of petition. Specifics. You know, it's like, do it all the time. How should we pray? Jesus, in Matthew 6, was teaching them. He said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. See, what they got is they got the attention they were looking for. We don't want attention that we pray. We want the answer to our prayer. It's like, you pray. Wow, you're awesome. Okay, good. That's what you get. We want the answer. That should be better than the attention, or if you're praying specifically. When you pray, He said, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Do you remember what the old man said? He said, Lord, you know I'm hard of hearing. Give me a seat up front. Now you could say, Lord, you know I'm hard of hearing. Heal my ears. In the meantime, give me a seat up front. He said, Lord, I got bad shoes. I'm going to be walking around the city. I need new shoes. I don't have money. And Lord, I don't know where I'm going to stay. So help me find a room. Do you know, I mean, since I became a Christian, I pray for parking spots. Even my disciples pray for parking spots. To me, that's just a simple thing. But I almost always park right up front everywhere I go. You know, it's not, oh man, I'm amazing. It's just, why wouldn't you not? I never pay for parking almost anywhere. When I go to Summerfest, I don't pay. I just pray. Lord, I need parking. And I'll drive around. Sometimes I've had to go 10 minutes. But I know I'm just going to pray. I pray, and then all of a sudden something opens up. I drift in. And every time my wife and I go, bam, $15. What up? But I believe. Now, see, in every area, we all have different things that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt are going to happen. That's what we're asking. Testify of those things, because what happens is we all start to believe with you. We learn your faith. We hear your faith. It inspires us. Then we remind ourselves, oh, I should do that. Just like when you read the Bible, the smartest thing you can do is start by asking God. Every time in the morning I say, Lord, thank you for your word. I love you. You're awesome. Thank you that I get to spend this time with you. Holy Spirit, guide me into all truth like you promised. Teach me your word. Let it not just be mechanical that I blow through to get my checked off chapters. Lord, I want revelation. Open your word to me. Let it come alive. Let it change me. Let it be real. And then when I read the word, bam, comes alive. Jesus then gives the Lord's Prayer. He says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is how we should respond to God. That we're not getting attention from other people. We're not babbling, trying to convince Him. You know, that doesn't work in any area of life. You get specific, tell Him what you need, know in your heart that this is something that is going to honor God, and just stand in faith, believe, receive it. Paul says in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. When? Every situation. In every situation, by prayer and petition. Prayer really being an act of worship. But it's included. You're thanking God. You're worshiping God. You're asking God. He said, and petition. It means a specific request. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What should we pray? I'll just end with this. Give you an idea. And here's some scriptures you could write down. But, you know, there are hundreds of prayers in the Bible. Literally hundreds of different prayers in the Bible. All through the Old Testament. You know, I was just reading Hannah's prayer as she gushed out her heart to the Lord. It's powerful. You can read all these prayers from the very beginning to the end. I mean, of people pouring their hearts out to God. These are good prayers, good examples. But you got to just go with what God is showing you and then do it. Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 3, the Lord appeared to Solomon one night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now, God put this in the Bible. He has a dream, and in the dream, God shows up and says, hey, man, ask me for whatever you want. And so here was his answer. He said, after he lists all the things that were going on in his life, He says, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people, to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? He asked for wisdom. He asked for discernment. He asked to know what was right and wrong. And so the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you've asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart. So there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. I wonder how many times people have prayed that, but in their mind they're going, all right, I'm going to ask for wisdom, but I need wealth, Lord. But give me wisdom. That's what I really need. And then God says, because you have asked for wisdom, I'm giving you wisdom. God bless. And you're like, and? He's like, wisdom. Well, if you have wisdom, the other things will come too, right? Wealth shouldn't be a problem. Paying your bills, you have wisdom. You'll figure it out. It's a good prayer. In Psalm chapter 2, the psalmist writes, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You know, if you have a heart for a people group, you have a heart for a nation, you have a heart, you know, ask God. Say, Lord, do a miracle. Send me. Use me. You know, if you're praying for other people to get saved, there's so many great verses to back that. In Ephesians, Paul writes, this is how he's praying for them. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as his mighty strength. And write down just one more I just put, but I won't read it. Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 12. It's really good. They're all good. All right, I'm going to end with this story. I sense that you've had enough. I have filled your tank, and now you're like, that's enough. Can we just go pray now? Stop. Too long. But I like it. Here's one more little story from DeVern Fromke. He says, I still remember another choice vessel of the Lord who had spent more than 40 years shut away in prayer warfare. While holding a meeting in a southern city, I was impressed to take the offering given to me that evening to this elderly woman who I had just recently met. So DeVern Fromke's preaching, they give him an offering. He met this elderly prayer warrior at the meeting, and the Lord said, go bring this offering to her. As I approached her open door and handed her the envelope of bills and change, her first words were, oh, thank you, Father. I bet the amount, she says, the amount is blank. I looked again at the figure written on the envelope, for I had not remembered the exact amount. How did you know the amount? I asked her, quite puzzled. Oh, an hour ago, the printer delivered some materials, and the bill was this amount. I asked my father for that amount so I could pay it today. In the years that followed, I learned to know her better. I came to realize that her deep roots in God and in his word made this kind of expectancy a daily delight. One day I overheard her asking God to provide some new suits for a young minister. In a few weeks, he had several of them. One night as we left a meeting, she prayed, Lord, I see something very unusual ahead in the road. Help my brother to drive with special caution. An hour later, I had to suddenly swerve my car to miss a body lying in the middle of my lane. A man had fallen in a drunken stupor as he made his way home that night. There is a place God can bring you to. He's not expecting all of you to have, you know, Bob Jones' insight or this prayer woman's insight now, today. But don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't turn coward, like Luke 18:1 says in the Amplified. Don't say, it didn't work. You got to keep asking. All over the Bible, every book of the Bible, you'll find God saying, ask me, ask me, ask me. Ask me. See if I won't come through for you. And I want to encourage you. You know, we have a prayer meeting, but, you know, come on. This doesn't make us a house of prayer. We pray an hour a week as a group. God wants to take us so much farther, so much deeper. And, you know, we're not doing a lot of advertising. We're praying. And you know what? That is a powerful thing. I know that things are happening. We're praying. Like we've said, we're praying God will bring young people into the church. We're praying that God will bring worship leaders in the church. We're praying that God will bring evangelists in the church. I know He's going to answer. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to just sit and pray. We got to share the gospel. We got to go out and tell the world about Jesus. But in the meantime, you know what we can all do? We can all be praying and crying out to God. And He's going to answer. He's gonna build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we're not the only church, obviously. We're a small little church. But we have a vision, and I know God's gonna fulfill it. Well, God has a vision for each of your lives. And I wanna encourage you. I know nothing, you know, I didn't give you the secret meaning of the third toe of the beast or anything, but if you really caught this, man, your life could be so different. Just remember, if you remember nothing else, remember that story of that old man who knew God. He said, Lord, I need a place up front. I need some new shoes, and I need a place to stay. And God said, done. God wants to do that for you too. Amen. Let's all pray about this praying stuff. Jesus, I thank You for the provision You've made for us. That if we abide in You and Your words abide in us, we can ask whatever we want and it will be done for us. Wow, what an awesome, awesome promise. And I ask that for those who have grown heart sick, weary of asking the same thing and feeling like somehow they're annoying You, I pray that You would rekindle passion in their hearts and hope, and that they would know how much You love them and how much You're ready to answer. I pray for those of us that have just gotten used to a bad situation, that we would wake up out of that stupor and believe for a better situation. That we start believing for healing. That we would believe You for miracles. That we would believe You for answers. That we would believe You for the lost. That we would believe Your word. That You will do whatever we ask. If we ask according to Your will. And Lord, for those that are all stymied because they don't know Your will, just let them ask. Let them just start talking to You again. Help us to be a people that loves their God, communes with their God, and asks Him to be involved in every area of life. And Lord, we trust You to take us deeper, farther, faster, and change this world for Your glory.